Well, on today's Ag Show, we're speaking with the Minister of Agriculture and Forestry for the province of Alberta. Checks in with us about every month or so to let us know what is happening in the world of agriculture, farming, and wildfire season, since it's not far around the corner. It is Minister Devin Dreeshan. Minister, great to have you back on again.
Thanks, Kenny, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right. So, Minister, I see that there's some progress made on the federal agri-stability program. However, I do understand that Ottawa is holding back. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. It's either 60 or 75 million dollars for some reason. And could you explain, like, why this is a stumbling point? If the money's been committed, what's the holdup, and what does this cost Alberta farmers?
Sure. And that was the frustrating part of the federal-provincial territorial meeting that we had a couple weeks back, where we did get a good deal for farmers to have an improvement on agri-stability, with the reference margin limit now changing, so it's easier to trigger an agri-stability payment for farmers and ranchers in the province. But we were hoping to have a better deal, and that was something that at this FPT meeting of all the provincial ag ministers, the federal government, we actually conducted a vote where the majority of the participating provinces voted in favor of the federal government, who had already committed $170 million and had approval from their treasury board to make two acre stability changes. We wanted to also change the compensation rate in addition to the RML. The majority of the provinces participating in this meeting voted that federal money would actually flow out to the provinces. And unfortunately, the federal government balked it and said no at the end of the day. So that would have made it a great deal for Alberta farmers, but unfortunately, we only got half of what they had previously communicated.
And I thought I'd seen somewhere else, Minister, that apparently because of this, directly and indirectly, that this cost Alberta farmers collectively somewhere between $10 to $15 million.
Yeah. So Alberta's share of that funding, I think it worked out to about $12 million, that federal dollars that we could have received and should have received, especially when you look at the fact that we have about $20 billion net transfers from Alberta to Ottawa. $12 million coming back the other way would have sure helped.
Yeah. Also, as well, I guess you'd also mentioned the removal of the reference margin limit. How is that beneficial? And I guess for those who don't understand, how does that work?
Sure. So the reference margin limit ultimately was an aspect to agri-stability that really made it hard for certain types of farmers and ranchers to be able to trigger a payment, to actually have a support payment go out in a year. So by removing that, it'll make the program trigger easier for certain types of operations. So it was always an issue of folks saying that, you know, there's so many problems with agri-stability, and the RML, the reference margin limit, was one of the easier fixes. Of other issues for agri-stability, you go from timeliness of payments. It takes about 2 years to actually receive a support payment from agri-stability. That's based off your then year taxes and takes a long time to actually process. And even just the predictability of it, that lots of farmers would say that they had a great year, or a bad year even, and they would get a payment, or they'd have a great year and they wouldn't, and so or vice versa. So it was really confusing for a lot of farmers to really understand the program and why it would actually trigger, even if they had large revenue declines, but still wouldn't get a payment.
So it seems to me, Minister, based on at least so far, one of the big issues that you've kind of talked about is that the speed at which you get your money, I mean, sounds like struggling farmers that do need it are the last ones to get it. So as somebody with the background that you have in farming, what to you is the ideal agri-stability deal? What would an ideal deal look like for Alberta?
Well, something that we've actually developed, we actually commissioned a study here in the province, we've shared it with other provinces and the federal government, of completely overhauling agri-stability and to develop a margin-based insurance program. So on the speed of support payments, something crop insurance does every year, the end of every season, it is automatically sent out to farmers. It's very clean, easy to understand, and it's quick. And it happens within the year that you'd actually, as a farmer, would receive, or rancher, would receive, if you get a decline,
right,
you would get a support payment. So that's an ideal kind of agri-stability program, to be able to say that if it was margin-based insurance, it could pay out in the year they actually saw a loss, and it was bankable and predictable. So it would be easy to say, if I can cover this much revenue decline, whether that's 5, 10, 20%, a farmer rancher be able to choose an insurance product that actually helps them for the revenue decline. That's actuarially sound and timely is something that I think will go a long way of improving agri-stability and just a revenue support program in general.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep our eye up open on that. And now, maybe yesterday may not be the greatest example of the overall picture, but Canadian commodities are really seeing great gains over the last, I would say, 6 months or so. And Alberta, I believe, exports about 80% of its ag products. I may be wrong on that, but I think it's around that neighborhood. So what have you seen that's happening internationally that it's leading to such high prices?
Well, I think we've done an amazing job of exporting products around the world and really putting Alberta and Canada on the map for other countries that want to have safe, reliable, high quality food. And just with our ever increasing yields, that consistency of supply, seeing new elevators pop up on the prairies where farmers can take their grain and deliver it, and high velocity loop tracks. So you're actually not having large unit trains decouple. They can just stay connected, fill up within 6-8 hours, and then go straight to the port and fill up Panamax ships and be shipped around the world. So just the improvements of the supply chain, I think, are opening up a lot of new markets for our commodities, which is great to see. And we actually broke a record last year for farm cash receipts at $15.5 billion, and that was up 3% from 2019. And 2019 was a good year as well overall for Alberta farmers. So it was a record year, and it's great to see, and hopefully we can see strong commodity prices again this year.
Yeah, and in saying that too, we saw that one of the newer markets actually is Spain, and apparently Spain loves Canadian beef, and they're selling it there for quite high prices, at least from what we're seeing in reports. So at the very least, when somebody sees a nice, beautifully marbled steak, I'm hungry. That's coming there. You could see, around the world that I didn't realize, how in demand Canadian meat is.
Yeah, and it's something that our international trade offices, we always had four dedicated Alberta egg specialists around the world to try to help connect buyers and sellers and to deal with any non-tariff trade barriers or government restrictions when a sale might go south. But that was something that our Europe foothold is actually in the Netherlands. And that's something that, again, with CETA or with our trade pact with Europe, I think goes a long way of us being able to ship, again, our high quality food products that we have here in Alberta to Europe, to other places around the world that really value our what we grow here. Because we're never going to be able to compete with low cost, high bulk countries, because we have high cost of production because we live in Canada. It's something that we really have to go for that premium market versus the lower quality products.
Okay, very interesting explanation. And also, Minister, we've chatted about this before, and that's the irrigation. And congratulations on the Irrigation District Amendment Act recently being passed, and that is good news. And I know you and I have chatted about this before, that the Peace region is seeing yields around 20% lower than other parts of the province, and we did talk about this, and you mentioned that irrigation may not be the ideal solution for the north. So I guess what I'm wondering is that will there be some sort of study or something commissioned along those lines to help with the soak fields in this region and to find out maybe what could be a good solution for the north, say, versus the south?
Yeah, it is something that we're looking at and studying on different river systems, because just naturally here in Alberta with our headwaters and all our rivers, we actually can utilize 50% of the water in our rivers. Otherwise, it just goes straight to Saskatchewan, straight out to the Hudson's Bay and the Arctic Ocean. So utilizing it, whether it's for agriculture or just keeping it there for municipal growth, is something that we're always keenly interested when we're trying to diversify our economy and grow and expand agriculture. But I think, obviously, there's been a few five or six wet years up in northern Alberta. And it is something that we're actually looking at drainage rules to see how we can improve and look at other countries that actually do a really good job when it comes to water management on lands, on fields. And back to the Netherlands, they have one of the best drainage rule systems in the world, because a lot of the farmland is actually below sea level. And so being able to manage water in a responsible way and in a common sense pro-development way is something that we're working with our friends at Environment and Parks to do.
All right, good. Should be very interesting. And, of course, we know that you're also the Minister of Forestry as well, and wildfire season is already here. It started on March 1st, and already saw a couple of flare-ups in the south. I'm not even sure if you can predict it, but are there ever any concerns about the wildfire season coming up, or is this just one of those things that you can never truly plan for and you just kind of have to see how it plays out?
Well, we always prepare, and something that, yeah, actually toured down in southern Alberta, Carmen Gay Hotel burnt down, and I think it was 16,000 acres of farmland burnt, but it was all just stubble and grass, but there were some farms that got affected too of that large grass fire. But yeah, when it comes to our forest fighting fire, and it actually had our Calgary zone forest firefighters got called in. Four of them helped the municipalities and the awesome volunteer fire department that was on the scene right away. We had a helicopter and two water trucks go down, so there to help out. But there's four fires in our northern parts, forest fires already. Two have actually been turned over to the municipalities under control. Other two are being held by our Alberta wildfire fighters. So it's obviously we are in the start of wildfire season. So it is something that, you know, we remind everyone that the vast majority of fires in the province are man-made or caused by us. So everybody to do their part to make sure they can reduce the chance of it from happening. Because 2 years ago in 2019, we saw 2 million acres of forest burned down in the province due to fires. And that's emitted 130 megatons of CO2 into the atmosphere and you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of lumber assets to forestry companies and indigenous folks to be able to hunt. And it was devastating. So it is something that we always do our best to prepare and make sure that we have the resources in place and the new cutting edge technology in place to be able to help out communities know where fires are and movements of fires and detection of fires, as well as just increasing our communications in case of an evacuation that people can be moved out as safely as possible. So it's great men and women at Alberta Wildfire that every day do their part to make sure that our communities in northern Alberta are safe.
Yeah, they definitely do that. And Minister, or Devin, I guess in this case, trade deadline, and I think Montreal and Ottawa both kind of having a little bit of the same idea, you know, bulk up on the blue line a little bit, and the Oilers, I remember at one point I was saying, the guy like Tyson Barrie, lots of good, like, Swiss skating defensemen on that team, but are you finally happy to have somebody on the back end aside from Darnell Nurse in Kulikov who will throw his weight around a bit?
Yeah, no, I think with Kulikov, it's good. He obviously played a lot with PK Subban in New Jersey, and so I guess as a former Habs player, and with Carey Price, I guess they didn't really focus so much on defense; they just let Carey do all the work. So
yeah, pretty much.
I am thinking though that he'll be a good stay-at-home defenseman. I think he'll be with Adam Larson, a really kind of a solid D line. And especially at times when Darnell Nurse, I think, thinks he's a fourth forward and just streaks up and goes behind the other net on a few shifts. I think it's good to have a good stay-at-home, shut-down defenseman. So I think Kulikov will really beef up our line, our D-line, and really help us into the playoffs. But yeah, we're 3-4 when it comes to Oilers and Habs, so it's going to be an interesting finish with many 14, 17 games.
Yeah, it should be still a lot of interesting things way to go. I know Montreal picking up a couple of defensemen, John Merrill and Eric Gustafson being one. But, I noticed this too, is that, boy, when a guy like Brandon Gallagher, Edmonton-born kid, when he's out of the lineup, boy, does the collective energy of the forwards group suffer. I think these guys may have forgotten how to forecheck.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting stretch. And, and Toronto, I think they lost last night, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, and that was Campbell's first loss. And
it was two nights. Yeah, it was last night, and it was tough.
Yeah, so yeah, Toronto's whoever has to go off against them in the first round is in tough, because yeah, Toronto seems like they're a pretty solid team all the way around.
Yeah, no, I don't like admitting that any more than anyone else does, who's not a Leaf lover. But that's fair enough. Good take on that, Minister. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you so much, Kenny. Take care.
This is Minister Devin Drieschen of Agriculture and Forestry, also a hockey analyst, and this is our Ag Show.